welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning. I'm speaking to you this morning on the other side of a very crazy week. So this is much more relaxed than you would have seen me earlier this week as we were preparing for the holidays. The holidays come quickly for us in that after church on Sunday last week, we started bringing up all the church stuff. And then we did decorating here on Sunday and Monday. And then Tuesday and Wednesday was decorating my house. And then Wednesday night was getting ready for Thanksgiving stuff. And thankfully, I didn't cook this year, but we did go up to Aurora. And on the way to Aurora, we had a flat tire. And I'm very thankful to have three grown adult children who could take care of the flat tire while their parents just watched. But it was quite an ordeal. And then Friday, of course, we had the Christmas tree lighting outreach, and Saturday was the parade. So now, after I get done preaching today, it'll be like really an easy week. But we still have to go through this. I'm sure for many of you, the hustle and bustle of the season is starting to increase a little bit as well. I hope that you all had a good Thanksgiving. One thing that is really positive due to the season is that we really do have to slow down a little bit and be thankful and focus on our, you know, family and our lives and just what God has done. You know, at the same time, things are speeding up. Holidays are a time to reflect. For me, I truly have a sense of gratitude spending time with my family. I like that they've had, you know, the days off now. We're not always all home all the time, so we do rely on vacations more than we used to, or vacation days at least. And so it was nice seeing them, and I've enjoyed incorporating my kids' significant others in as an extension of our family as well. But I realize the holidays don't come without struggles. Sometimes the stresses of finances are more significant in the holidays. Not all family relationships are easy to navigate. And I personally struggle with the change of my schedule. It's not just my schedule. I could actually maintain my schedule. It's that everybody around me doesn't maintain their schedules. I really could do it if it was just on me. But I have to arrange, you know, I have my life arranged in a certain order that provides me a certain amount of peace. Now it's peace because I've controlled it to a T, but I don't like chaos. And so I have learned over the course of my years, you know, what kind of things bring me energy, what kind of relationships bring me energy, what kind of things like require more energy of me. And I've learned to really schedule my life very well so that I have this, you know, I don't know, just maintenance, this good balance. And so when everything changes and we have to, you know, go different places or other people aren't available and they have to go places and all this stuff changes, it adds chaos to my life that I'm not comfortable with necessarily. And so I have to realize at those times that it is really God who really is supposed to be in control. And I was really never supposed to maintain such an order to my life anyway. So I find that in the midst of this joy and sorrow of this time that I really need to have my hope in Jesus because, it, you know, as much as I like to try to maintain everything, I can't. As I've been trying to focus on this message, I felt like God has been trying to remind me that this lack of control is the very reason that he has to come to be with us. Today, we're going to be starting our series, Emmanuel, God with Us. And this is a sermon about hope. A long, long time ago, there was a prophecy concerning hope in the book of Isaiah. And then 2,000 years ago, that hope arrived in the birth of Jesus. Now we live in that hope that has never left us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is our very present hope in all times, in all seasons. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you're with us. I thank you that you're in control. I thank you that you have helped us navigate over the last week and the beginning of the holidays, and it is your intent to get us all the way through and take us into this year, Lord, that you are always with us. And I thank you that you have a message of hope this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The name Emmanuel only appears three times in the Bible, twice in Isaiah, and once in the book of Matthew. The word actually appears again in the book of Isaiah, but it's more of a theological concept. It's not necessarily used as a name. And it was used to complete the discussion of how God is with his people in Isaiah 7 and 8. The context between this first usage of the name Emmanuel in Isaiah 7 is as follows. It takes place approximately 735 years before Jesus was born. And the land of Israel had at this time been divided into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom, which was called Israel or Ephraim, and then there was the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. And the king of the northern kingdom and the king of Syria had formed an alliance because they were smaller, and then there was this large kingdom above them called Assyria, and that kingdom was always threatening against them. And they really wanted the kingdom of the southern, the king of the southern kingdom to join them in this, you know, alliance, but that king was resistant. And so these two kings had formed a plot to kill the king of the southern kingdom. And before they could do that, that guy died and his son became king. And so his son found out about this, and his son is King Ahaz. And King Ahaz is not a very good king. It says that he was evil. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not have any faith in God. And when he found out that the two kings above him were plotting to attack his country, he was really scared. And the Bible goes on to say that Ahaz and the people of Judah were so afraid that it compared them to shaking trees that were blowing in the wind. And so at this time, God sends a prophet to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz. In Isaiah 7:4, it says, "Say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood." So Isaiah, and he actually took his son with him, go and they talk to King Ahaz, and they are who is preparing to war or for any type of attack from the northern kingdom. And he's basically saying, you don't have to worry about this. These other two kings, they're smoldering firewood, meaning that their power is burning out. And Isaiah is prophesying that these two kings are not going to be a threat to God's people. And he further goes on to say that Israel won't even exist in 65 years. And so then Isaiah continues in verse 9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And they kind of make this a negative because God had really kind of thought that Ahaz wasn't going to stand firm. But the opposite is true. If he would have stood firm in his faith, he wouldn't have been bothered by these two kings. Then it goes on to say in verses 10-11, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether it be in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." And people who have studied this really have come to the conclusion that God was telling Ahaz he could have asked for anything, and just to prove that God was faithful and that he would have rescued or prevented this attack coming from the north. But Ahaz refused. He used language that was pretending to be pious, although he wasn't pious at all. He said, "Oh, I don't want to ask. I don't want to put the Lord to the test." And then it says that Isaiah says this, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." And so what is assumed is that a young woman actually does have a son at this time. It would be it's unlikely that nothing happened. We just don't know exactly what happened. It could be that Isaiah had another son, because his first son had a significant name. The son that he took with him to talk to King Ahaz had a name, and his name was Shear-Yashub. And that meant a remnant will survive. And so it could be that the second son that is mentioned could have been Isaiah's son, and he could have been named Emmanuel. It could also be that maybe there was a princess or somewhere, someone in the kingdom that was called Emmanuel. And sometimes some people think that maybe Hezekiah was called Emmanuel at some point. But even though we don't know who the son was, we do know that that birth likely took place and that it was a sign for Israel that God would remain with them, even though the land was going to be destroyed. And so what happened was that the land, we're not going to read the rest of the prophecy at this time, but Ahaz did not put his faith in God, and his land, both actually the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, were decimated by Assyria, who Ahaz had hoped would help them, but they didn't. And so the prophecy here about God being with the people was really for the remnant, those who really did want to put their faith in God. And even though they were struggling and they had been decimated by the land was decimated, the people could hold on to the fact that God really was still with them, that there would be another side to this. Later in chapter 8, Isaiah would state how the Lord had made him and his sons symbols of his faithfulness and of his and signs to his people. Isaiah's name actually means God saves, just like Jesus's does. And so these names that were mentioned in the book of Isaiah to the king were really significant in pointing not only those people to the faithfulness of God, but we'll see in a bit that Matthew, when he talks about Jesus's birth, can look back to those times and say God was faithful then, and this is what's come of it all. Now, this theology of God being with his people was nothing new. It wasn't new to the hearers of Isaiah's prophecy. This was a theology that was spoken about all throughout the Old Testament. Well, you know, if one example is when God tells Moses that he's going to be with him when he has to go talk to the Pharaoh and tell him that he wants to rescue the Israelites. In Genesis 3:11-12, it says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.'" Later, to King David, regarding the promise of this dynasty that David would have and that would continue for the Israelites, is God spoke to David and he said, "Now tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and tending the flock and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth." And then this affirmation was sung as the Israelites worshiped God using psalms throughout their history. In Psalm 47, it states, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This theology was concluded time and again in the Old Testament in reference to the Israelites, God's people. But now, through Jesus, it is extended to us. Because the last place that the name Emmanuel is used is in Matthew. And here we have Mary, the virgin who's with child. And she's with the child, Jesus. And here there's a conflict because Joseph, her husband, is planning to divorce her because he didn't get her with child. And so he wanted to quietly put her off. And so an angel is sent to her, or sent to him to speak to him. In Matthew 1:20-24, it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a child, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here, Matthew ties the disaster that would befall mankind as sin. He says that God is still faithful to save, and this time he wants to save us from our sins. Through Jesus, God came to earth as fully man and fully God to live amongst us. Not only that, when Jesus died, defeating death forever, he made the world right in such a way that God will live amongst humanity again upon the coming of the new heavens and the new earth. For now, we get to hope in the promise that Jesus has given us, that he sent his Holy Spirit to reside in those who believe in him. In John 14:16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus promised that he would be with us always. In Matthew 28:20, it says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The hope that Christmas gives us is that God is with us, that we who believe in Jesus have the same promises that the Israelites have always had, that we get to live in this world in unity and in the comfort and shelter and protection of our Father God, and that Jesus and the promises that he has given us are true, that he will always be with us, even to the end of the age. We've been made right with God through Jesus, and in this way, God is with us always. In this life, there's times of tremendous celebration, and that's just wonderful, and God is with us during those times. But he's also we also have times of real struggle, and God is with us at those times too. Sometimes we're tempted to think that if things are going really well, then we're blessed and we must be doing something right. God's blessing us. Everything's great. And then when there's struggles, there's inkling of belief and even accusation from the enemy that says that God is somehow displeased with us, or he's ignoring us, or he just doesn't care. And that's not true. God knows we live in a world that still has evil in it, and that evil tries to destroy us. But God is with us even during these times, and he promises that it cannot destroy us. The story of Ahaz can be a message to us to put our trust in God. Because when we put our trust in him, then we get to hold true to those promises. Ahaz missed out on those promises. He was not included with the remnant, and he was destroyed. But these promises are for us. Some of us may be struggling at this time, you know, sometimes in relationships. Sometimes it's really hard, you know, whether we feel like it's we have conflicts with relationships or we're just dealing with loneliness. Sometimes we're struggling, we're dealing with grief, and God knows this. He knows us and he hears our heart cry, and he promises to bring comfort and leading in our struggles. Sometimes we struggle financially, and this time it's hard because we, you know, there's all this things that we could desire. There's all this stuff that's being promoted, and when we just don't have finances, you know, we have to worry about our gas or our heat or our house payments. Those things aren't even within our grasp. But God knows us. His message is Emmanuel. He is with us. Our hope is in him. The Holy Spirit will lead us and direct our steps, and he will show us how he wants to provide. Many of us are gravely concerned about what's been going on in world events. But God wants us to know that he's here. He knows he's not absent in all of us, in all of this, and we can enter into his perspective. We can enter into his hope and his peace. Some of us are facing other circumstances that seem overwhelming. God's promise is that the enemy cannot destroy us. God knows our grief and our sorrows. He knows our joys. He knows just what we need when we need it. He knows the anxieties that we try to deal with on our own, that we try to control, or that we try to manage. But he wants to be our hope today. He is our Emmanuel. His Spirit is in us and offering us peace and rest. There's some verses that I particularly like regarding God being with us, so I'll share those with you this morning. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I hold on to this verse. It's one of those verses that says, if anything happens, Jesus is there. Jesus will get me through. There's a author named Jürgen Moltmann who studies hope quite a bit. And he says this about hope. He says, what anxiety and hope actually have in common is a sense of what is possible. In anxiety, we anticipate possible danger. In hope, we anticipate possible deliverance. That's exciting. No matter what the enemy can bring us, God is there and he can get us through, and he can find many ways to get us through. Isaiah 43:2 is another really neat verse. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." You notice it didn't say you won't get hot when you walk through fire, or you won't get wet when you walk in the water. God knows the anguish of our souls. He knows our struggles. His promise is that he will come. He'll come when we're needed, that his comfort is real. He wants to enter into our feelings, no matter how raw they are, sometimes through journaling or prayer or worship. You know, sometimes we're blessed and we have people who come and just listen. They can offer words of encouragement. Sometimes there's stuff we hear on the radio. But God meets us when we seek him. He's not distant. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I take this verse as real encouragement that we can be looking. You know, we are commissioned wherever we go. God isn't just there he wants to defend us from our enemies, but he also wants to walk us into victory. And so we can, as we are going with God, we can look for the places, the ground that he is taking as we walk with him. And so God is with us for many reasons. He's there for comfort. He's there for protection. And he's also there because it's his will to expand his kingdom through us. during the holidays, there's lots of opportunities that we're with people or around people that we wouldn't normally be around. And we have an opportunity to go with God into those places and bring the kingdom that he wants to expand there. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is our hope during every season of the year. Jürgen Moltmann says, hope is more than feeling. Hope is more than experience. Hope is more than foresight. Hope is a command. Obeying it means life, survival, endurance, standing up to life until death is swallowed up in victory. This morning, we have an opportunity to celebrate that hope. In response to this message, we can do at least three things. The first one is remember our hope, Emmanuel. God is with us. We can express gratitude. We can enter fully into worship. And we can invite God to be part of the Christmas celebration. We can be aware that he is with us wherever that we go. He loves fun, and he loves to be with you, and he loves to enjoy this part of your life. We can also rely on our hope, Emmanuel. We can seek God for comfort. We can seek him for help. We can listen for how he's going to lead us. It's through faith that we see his promises as we press into him, as we say, yes, I believe that you are with me. Yes, I believe that you have an answer that I cannot see yet. We can pray and read and journal. We can press into him even when we don't feel like it. And we can lay down our expectations of what we think that God ought to be doing and let him do what he knows is best. We can let him show us how he wants to meet our needs. And finally, we can rest in our hope, Emmanuel. We can combat fear with the simple truth that God is with us. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit by which we call out Abba, Father. That means we are loved and he loves us. And if we remember that we are the beloved children of the living King of the universe, we can rest. We can have hope. We're not alone. God knows what we need and he knows what we don't know. He is a hope that we hold on to until he sees us through. I wish you a wonderful holiday season. It truly is a time of gratitude and wonder. May the hope that God is with you and in you, before you, a comfort all season and all year long.